how's your growing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man going? Luke 2:52. Talked about that the last Sunday of the year. We've been talking about it each Sunday as we're doing that. And your goals, your growth steps, your resolutions, your plans, your dreams, whatever they are. You've been seeing this commercial on TV during the football games that the second Friday of the year is the quitter's day. You've seen that, the Apple Watch deal, you know. And let's see, have we had two Fridays already this year? Yeah, well, have you quit yet? Stick with it, right? Stick with it. Dennis, you stuck with it. You got through the Bible. And somebody else write me this last week and say they got through the Bible for the first time. Isn't that great? Yeah? How many of you read through the Bible? How many have not read through the Bible? It's your turn, okay? Be a great goal for you this year. You can do it. My Bible, my one-year chronological Bible, it's 4 pages a day. I know what I got to do. And I know what it ends at the end of the month. I know what page I got to be on because I figured it out. I did 4 times 30 is 120 plus, you know, 364. You can do it. And what? Guess what? If you don't do it, you gave it a shot, right? And you can finish it next year. But have a goal. Have something that you're working toward. That will help you and propel you. And if you need to put it on your Apple Watch, you can do that. I just have a Timex, but I don't have an Apple one, okay? So here's some things that came to me. Some more one words. We lost our lights here somehow. Bring me back up. There you go. A little bit. Thank you. Somebody told me that their one word this year is blessings. That's a good one. That's what they're going to focus on. God, I want to have your blessings on my life. Somebody else said this. This is more than one word. You know that, okay? But it's four. But it makes it your will, my will. That's a good thing to guide you through the year, right? Another person said more about Jesus. That's their focus phrase for this year. More about Jesus. Those are good. Those are really good. Have something to guide you. As I've told you, mine is surrender. Keeping working toward that. That I might surrender myself more fully to Him. Our majestic theme for this year is welcome home. We want that to be that. As we want to connect every person to Jesus. It's kind of on our mission state. We want to connect every person to Jesus. But in that, we want every person to feel like this is their home. And that will happen as we care for one another, as we're part of each other's lives, as we welcome people. Watching you and welcoming one another this morning, what a joy that is to see. So keep it up so that people would say, this is my home. This is where God has called me to be a part of what God wants to do. All right, so we're going to talk about Psalms to remember for the next few weeks. This is what I'm thinking. I picked the 6 shortest psalms. That gives me the opportunity to have longer messages. We'll find out, right? But the 6 shortest psalms, I might have to add another one in there based on my schedule has just changed a little bit. And they're the shortest psalms by nature of how many verses there are or how many words are there in the passage. That's how I figured it out. Be able to do that. So, and then I'm going to do what Dennis did. I'm going to invite you to memorize a verse out of each of those psalms. And there's only 2 this week. Dennis, good job. Good job. I've been working on it too, and I've got it. I don't have it down yet either. But this week, I'm going to work on memorizing those 2 verses. Now, some of them have 3 verses, okay, and more words. I understand that. But I'm going to invite you to do that. And I put the psalm, I put the verse at the bottom of the bulletin so that we can all memorize it, ESV. Okay, now that might not be where you're at, but to make it easier, because next week I'd like to be able to come back, and if you don't have it memorized, then I would encourage you bring your bulletin from this week back with you. Why? Because then you can read it while you're doing it, okay? You can fake me out. I know not everybody's going to take it on. I understand that, but I'm challenging myself. I used to memorize a lot. I haven't done it much in the past 10 years because my prayer time takes so long to get through things. But I'm adding this to my world right now, and I'd like to invite you to join me and to take it on. So I can guarantee you got the first three words, don't you? Praise the Lord. One, two, three. Praise the Lord. You got a good start. We're going to do it. And you know what the last three words are? Praise the Lord. See? Out of 28 words, you got six of them already. Good start, right? It's a good start. So we're going to have a little bit of fun with this and enjoy it. Well, I hope you'll enjoy it. I'm going to, as we look at this and be a part of it. All right? So, Psalm 117. How many verses? There you go. Okay, you're coming. How many words? 28. You're good. That's in the ESV. Maybe a different amount of words, you know, in the NIV or whichever one you're using. But for the ESV, what we're using, 28 words that we can put there. Now, interestingly, as I was reading and doing some studying, some of the scholars, the people that write the commentaries, and they said that sometimes 117 has been added to 116 and has been also added to 118 in some of the Hebrew manuscripts. So we think about that. Look at 116. Well, we'll look at 117. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love for us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. All right. We're getting it. See, we're memorizing it. So here's a little bit mnemonic device. Memorize it in phrases. Memorize it in phrases. So if you can get praise the Lord down, all nations, you got the first five words, right? Extol him, all peoples. So now we got nine words down, right? So, and then take the next one, which is his steadfast love. So great is his steadfast love for us, as a phrase. And then take the next phrase when he talks about the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever, and then praise the Lord. So we already got six of it. Praise the Lord, bookends. This is really important, he's saying, right? And then do it in phrases. Memorize in phrases. Rather than trying to do the whole thing at one time, do it in phrases. Extol him, all peoples, for great is the steadfast love of the Lord for us, and great, for great is his steadfast love toward us, and his faithfulness and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. You can do it in those phrases; it'll help you put it all together. So we'll be working on that a little bit at the end. All right. So this begins with praise the Lord, obviously. And what does the end of 116 end with? Praise the Lord. Okay, so you could see how they were put together as you tucked in the courts of the house of the Lord in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. So you could see how that would fit together with 116. Now, look at, we talk about the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Great is his steadfast love. Look at 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, which is praise, a sense of praise, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. You can see how that's tied together. We've talked about steadfast love in 117. Now 118 carries that on, but look further. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Kind of sounds like 117. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. So you can see how that it could have tied to 116. It certainly could have tied together with 118, as some of the Hebrew manuscripts put them together. As we think about the psalm itself, what is praise as we think about this topic of praise? Well, if we talk about it just generally, a definition, you know, a dictionary definition, to express approval or admiration for the achievements or characteristics of a person or a thing, right? Or to express a favorable judgment of someone or of something. Synonyms, words that communicate kind of the same thing, right? Could be this: celebrate, worship, magnify, glorify, applaud, laud, L-A-U-D, exalt. We could say of someone they're inspiring as we think about them, as we give praise to them. Or we could say that they're amazing. We recognize, we look at them and we see these characteristics, these things about these people that help us to see them in a favorable light of admiration and for approval of them. So maybe we could say this. We could praise the Broncos for having a good season this year. True? Yeah, okay. Very definitely. We made the playoffs. We haven't done that for, 8 years or something like that, or 8,000 years or something, right? We haven't done that. So they had a good season. Yeah, we had a little, a little big bump in the road the last game. Okay, right? We did pretty good for the first 4 minutes, right? But the fact is, they had a good season. We can praise them for that. We're not worshiping them. We're just praising them. We're giving admiration. We're acknowledging that it was a good season for them. You as parents, and me as a parent or grandparent, we could praise our kids for something they've done, a worthwhile achievement or something they've done, and we clap our hands and we go, yeah, that's great. We could praise our spouse for something that our spouse has done for us and has cared for us and has shown us great love. And certainly, probably as men, we need to be doing that a lot more. Thank you. Okay. That was a wife who said that, right? But it's true, man. We need to do more of that because they're incredible servants to us. We're so thankful for them. I read what I wrote down here. President Jimmy Carter, who just passed away at 100, has been praised as being compassionate, wise, graceful, a servant. These are all things that I read. A man who did good, lived his values, and conducted his life with decency. We could praise him for that. We might not agree with everything he did. I understand that. But as far as being a man and being a human, he certainly was a man who lived with decency. He was a good man in that sense. Taught Sunday school all those years. We could praise him for that, for living a life that was worthy of praise. Not perfect, just like for us, we're not perfect, but there were really, really good things about him and that. Those are what people have written. Those are worthy accolades for him. That's generally for us to express approval or admiration for characteristics or the personality or the things that somebody has done or something that we like to make a favorable judgment. But now, biblically, taking it into the biblical realm. Well, certainly the same thing is true, but just a little bit different, right? We could say this. We could say that praise means to proclaim his name, to lift his name on high. We could say that praise is to proclaim the glory of God and all that he has done for us. We could say that praise is to make his name famous. We want to be able to do to make his name famous. He doesn't need us to do that because his name is. But for us to do that is significant and to recognize his what he has done for us and who he is to us. Somebody has said this, that praise is the joyful recounting of what God has done for us. Somebody else has written the acknowledgement of the wonderful righteous deeds of God. Or thanking him for who he is and what he has done for us. Those are ways to be able to grab onto what praise is. We praise the Lord to exalt his name, to lift his name high, and to honor him and to give glory to him and magnify his name. Praise the Lord in the Hebrew is the word hallelujah. We know that. So we could put that in there. We could say hallelujah for the Lord and to give that and to honor him in that. The praise of the Lord, as I did a little search and just, typed it in, Googled, to see in the internet. It says that praise the Lord, that phrase is used 39 times in the Bible. I was a little bit surprised by that. I thought it might be more than that. There's different variations of it. But that exact phrase is 39 times. 31 times of those are in the Psalms, and 13 of those times are in Psalm 150. Interesting, huh? So let's note some of them. Let's note some of the places. 106. You got your Bible there? You can hear 106. Turn to 106. You would. Always good to hear those leaves turning, as they used to say, right? The leaves of the Bible. 106. We'll just look at a few places. Starts off with what? Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Where have we read that before? 117, right? 106, look at 109. 109, be not silent, O God of my praise. Going through a difficult time, for wicked and deceitful mouths are opened against me, speaking against me with lying tongues. But he's giving praise to the Lord, even in the midst of the hard times and the difficult times. What about Psalm 111? Praise the Lord. I'll give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. You see how the psalmist is praising the Lord, using that phrase, and then telling us about what he's done. Psalm 112, praise the blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. That sounds like Proverbs, doesn't it? Something that Proverbs would give us to be able to do that. 113 starts the same way, right? Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Go to 146, Psalm 146. If you're missing all this, there's a Bible right in front of you. I should have invited you to take that. But Psalm 146, right in about the middle of Scripture before us. 146, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. 147, praise the Lord. For it is good to sing praises to our Lord. For it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. 148 says what? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, your highest heavens and waters above the heavens. So you can see that praise the Lord, the phrase is used this many times, but the word praise is used in the same way, in different ways. Psalm 149 begins what? Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Is praising the assembly of the godly. Psalm 50. What? Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to the excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You see this. This sense of what the psalmist, what the writers of the psalms want us to understand, this praise of giving him glory, of giving him majesty, recognizing his majesty, of giving him the due that is worthy of him for who he is. Now, we look at 117 and in these other places, we understand this. This is a command. It's not a suggestion. This is something we are to do. And to be a part of what God wants us to do as we think about that. It's not a little suggestion. Well, if you feel like it, praise the Lord. It's hard to praise the Lord when things aren't going your way, isn't it? Shake your head yes. We all know that. When you're sick, when difficulties come, you have a car accident, when something at work doesn't go right, a project doesn't go work, when you're maybe getting blast. It's hard. When you take a test at school and it doesn't go like you want, and you only get an A instead of an A+ on it. It's hard to do that, but this is a command. To give him the honor that he is due and worthy of who he is and of his name. You'll notice in 117, too, it's just kind of fun. You know, it's like bookends, like I said. He begins with it and he ends with it. That tells us it's really important. This is something that we should do. But we notice we go through there that he also says, extol him, all peoples. As we think about that, it gives the same sense. I think they could be used synonymous. But probably it communicates even more when extol him communicates with great excitement and enthusiasm. It has just a little bit more push toward it in what we're supposed to do. So, I take this. So, if we take the two praise the Lords, and we take the one extol him, we got three commands to basically do the same thing. I would say out of 28 words, That's something that's really, really important, right? This is something we are to do and is really, really important that we do, that we would honor him and recognize him for all that he has done for us through the years. Hey, Dave, did you know there's a ministry called Hockey Ministries International? Okay, Dave knows that, okay? I came across their website looking for praise, and it said this. Psalm 117 makes things crystal clear in the first three words. What are the first three words? You got it. You're going to memorize this thing. Good. What's the last three words? I got you. He goes this, but that they go on, he says, the question is not whether or not you will praise or worship something. The question is, what will you praise and worship? What will you praise and worship? We're built to praise, the author said. That's the way God made us. We understand that. Yet there certainly are. There are people who are going to praise the Broncos far more than they should. Okay, they're going to worship them, right? I mean, it kind of happens, you know, at the end of the season here, you know, football season. There's a lot of worshipers out there, okay? But this is their world. This is their world. And we understand God is to be our world. And to focus in on him and move about him. So as I was thinking about this, trying to go through this, I thought, you know, acrostics help us to remember things that are important to us. Acrostic, using the letters of a word to make sense. So we have like grace. There's an acrostic for that, right? You probably know this. God's riches at... You don't know this, okay? God's riches at Christ's expense. There you go. You're coming now. I just had to kind of get you going a little bit there. Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Faith. Another acrostic, right? Forsaking all, I trust him. Did you know that one? Anybody know that one? Boy, okay. I'm teaching you some new things. This is fun. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Faith, forsaking all, I trust him. I'll say it one more because I see some of you writing it down. Forsaking all, I trust him. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. So I tried to make an acrostic. I didn't do very good. But I gave it a shot. And maybe for you this week, maybe that would be something you would do. You could do better than me, all right? And right now you're going, yeah, I can do better than you once you hear mine, right? Tell me what it is, Pastor. Here's what I wrote down. Practical rejoicing and increasing surrender in everything. Okay, somebody liked it. That's all right, okay. I don't know, you're just trying to put some handles on it for me. Practical rejoicing and increasing surrender in everything. And it's all right in acrostics just to stick a word in there to make it make sense, okay? So that was kind of what I came up with. And here's some others that other people came up with. Putting real admiration into situations every day. That was really good. The person that did that one did a really good job because they didn't even have to put any extra words in there. Putting real admiration into situations every day. And this was probably a pastor because we're verbal and we use a lot of words. Publicly recounting the attributes and actions of the incomparable sovereign God of eternity. Kind of sounds like a pastor put that together, right? But and I'm going to get to that. We're going to talk about the attributes and actions of God. But I mean, that gives the essence. So maybe this week that'd be maybe a project for you. You would take that praise. I'm making an acrostic out of it and to see what God would do for you that. But let me ask you this question. In what ways have you praised the Lord today already? In what ways have you already praised the Lord? I mean, I'm not talking about just, it just kind of happened. I mean, spontaneous, fine. But I mean, that we have been intentional to give him the glory, to honor him, to lift his name on high. By the time we've come on Sunday, we should have done that. Your quiet time this morning. How did you praise him? As you were driving, how did you praise him? For me, as I told you, and when I rode, and I did it this morning again, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. I try to do that every Sunday as I'm driving in. Just to kind of focus myself on God and who He is and what He's done for me in my life. Who is to praise the Lord? Talk about what is praise, but who is to praise the Lord? Well, we look at this, it's very interesting. These commands to praise the Lord are not just for God-fearers. What does He say? All nations, all peoples. Whoa! That would be a surprise to some people waking up this morning. And we know this. We know this, that not everybody's going to praise the Lord. Some don't believe there's a God. So why are they going to praise the Lord? They have no reason to do that. Doesn't mean they can't. But in their hearts, there's no reason to do that. Some don't want to praise Him because something's happened in their life. Some difficulties happened in their life, and they're trying to work through who God is and why hasn't He taken care of this thing. We all understand that. We've all been in that place at some point in our lives that God didn't come through like we thought He should come through, and that makes it hard to praise Him. Some maybe haven't heard this command. I mean, not everybody this morning is reading Psalm 117. You know that. We are here, but not everybody's heard this command that they should be a part of it. And some are just plain forgetful. We just forget that this is a command to us. But if all peoples and all nations are to praise the Lord, certainly God-fearers should be the first people to praise the Lord. Amen? And if you have a hard time, I was thinking about this. Praise the Lord, all nations, extol Him, all peoples. Nations comes before peoples. N comes before P. Just another mnemonic device. If that helps you to be able to remember, put it in order. Nations, peoples. N comes before P as you're memorizing that. Be a part of that. So, how have I praised the Lord this morning? Say that again. For breakfast. There we go. Some people even pray before breakfast. Some people forget to pray before breakfast. Even if they have a sign in front of them, they forget to pray, right? But that would be a way to do it. To honor the Lord in that. Honor Him. Lift Him high. Thank Him for what He's done. So I thought the two ways that we should do this. First of all, we should do it personally. It should be us in our time with the Lord, making time to, in the midst of that time, that quiet time with the Lord in the morning, to say, Lord, thank You. I praise You for who You are and what You've done. In Psalm 119, 164, says this, David says, 7 times a day I praise You for Your righteous rules. That'd be a nice goal to take on, right? 7 times a day that we would praise Him for who He is and what He's done for us. That'd be a great way to do it personally. I read from my friend Gary Hogue, as I've mentioned him many times. He said this in a blog. He said, we need to make sure your faith is in your mouth, but not only in your mouth. In other words, Vince got it. He goes like this to his heart. We need to make sure it's in our heart too, right? Not just we talk about it, but it's here. It's internal for us. I added to that, and I put it this way. Praise is not just to be verbalized. It is also to be internalized. Not just to sing it as we do here and gather, but it's to be here for us. It's a part of who we are and our constitution as we think about that. And so personally, we need to praise Him, but publicly we need to do it. We read Psalm 149 earlier. Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord. A new song is praise in the assembly of the godly. That's us, right? We've assembled together. This is the godly who have come together. Psalm 150, as we read through that, He says to us, not just personally, but publicly, praise Him. Lift His name on high and bring honor to Him. So what Psalm 113, as I quoted it for you, I read it for you a little bit, and a song to that, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Praise ye the Lord. Praise all you servants of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Boom, boom. Just a way to think it, just another way to be able to remember how to praise and to bring honor to Him. Learned that many years ago, youth group song. Taking scripture and making it a part of our lives to be able to help us remember that. So my question, finish this section. In what ways will you praise the Lord today? We start out by saying, in what ways have you praised Him already today? But in what ways will you praise Him today? To build upon what we've said and to build upon the foundation that we've laid before us. Third question, how can we praise the Lord? One a blogger that I read this week, a young father, said, in talking about this psalm with my children last night, I asked them, why is it that God commands us to praise Him? My six-year-old son, Luke, quickly answered, because God is greedy for praise. But then he quickly added, in a good way. He's greedy for praise, but in a good way. Now, I'll put it this way. Now, God is not greedy or needy for our praise. He doesn't need that. He's not greedy, He's not needy, but He is worthy of our praise. Not needy, He's not greedy, but He is worthy of our praise. So here's how. How do we do it? Well, let's recognize His attributes. This is a way to praise Him, to reflect back to Him His attributes that are in Scripture, that are before us. These are ones that I have on my prayer list. There would be more you could probably add to this, but attributes of God. He's all-knowing. He's powerful. He's present. He's compassionate. He's creator. He's eternal. He's faithful. He's forgiving. He's generous, good, grace, holy, immortal, immutable. That means unchanging, infinite, just, kind, loving, merciful, patient, personal, relationship, righteous, self-existent, serving, sovereign, sustainer, transcendent, wise, and wrathful. Yeah, that's who God is. Now that you probably find more in Scripture, right? I mean, certainly even us reviewing, we call Him Lord God Almighty, as we sang earlier. Who was and is to come. Those are His attributes. Who He is. He's the Trinity. We sang that in Holy, Holy, Holy. Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The Trinity. There's none beside Thee, we sang. All those things are a part of who He is. And that would be a way to be able to give praise to Him. To maybe take some of those attributes. And you can go, you can go on gotquestions.org. And you can go on the internet. Is that the attributes of God? They're probably more than this, but those are ones that I've written down through the years to be able to say to God, this is who You are, and I want to praise You that this is who You are. Revelation song, beautiful song as we sing, talks about His attributes and what He has done for us. He's the Lion and the Lamb. You could concentrate on that one morning. That would be great to be able to do. But also His actions. We talk about His attributes, who He is, but His actions, what He has done for us. And I just went through some scripture to think about this. Next one, please, Clara. Next slide. There we go. John 3:16. You probably know this one, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. That's pretty significant. How about Romans 5:8? But God shows His love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians 1:7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us. Now I got a little bit, man. He lavished it on us, overflowing in what He has done for us. Some other ones. Next slide, please. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, what? I'll send Him to you. He gave us the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit who can help us in the midst of all that we go through, right? 1 Corinthians 11:26, we talked about this 2 weeks ago. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, what, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. He's coming, right? He's coming. That's a great way to praise Him. Lord, thank You that You're coming. Today would be great. We'd love to have You come, be a part of our lives, and take us to be with You. Oh, and great song, Romans chapter 8. No, In all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We'll never be separated from him. We can thank him that he's got his steadfast love for us. Remember? It's in there. To be able to thank him for his love, that we will never be separated from him. We know him as our Savior. We'll never be separated from him. You could go on and find lots of other verses in regard to this, right? Yeah. So, in what ways will you praise him this week? What will be your plan of action to praise him? If you have a plan of action, you'll probably make it happen, okay? Might not all happen, but it would give you something to go toward. What am I going to do? Am I going to take maybe one of those attributes? Am I going to take one of those verses that talks about what he's done for us? And I'm going to work that through all week long. Or maybe I'll take something every day and I'll do that. Whatever it is, have a plan of action to be able to praise him and to honor him. To lift him high. And to remember what we've been commanded to be able to do. The verse? One of the verses? Going to memorize? Psalm 117, 1 and 2. Here we go. You ready? Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. See, you see the various sections there. Praise the Lord, all nations. One section, extol him, all people. Third section, for great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. You can do it. You could memorize a whole psalm this week. I could memorize a whole psalm this week. I've been trying. Haven't got it done yet. But join me in doing that. Take it. It's on the bottom of your bulletin. And you can join with us and try to put this. Because if you do this, this will be a psalm to remember. And that's what we want to be able to do. Not just to hear it, but to be able to give it back to God. We could just take that every day and you could just give that back to him. Lord, I'm practicing my memorization. Help me to get it down. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all people. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and his faithfulness to the Lord endures forever.